Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Yud Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 5 lines from the top of Daf Yud Gimel. We had learned in our Mishnah that one should not read L'Or Haner on Shabbos because of the fear of coming to tilt the candle and in order to have the wick burn clearer, brighter, and that's a problem of Havora v'Shabbos. So we preempt the problem by saying don't even read by candlelight. Kayotsebo, we are in the Gemara quoting from the Mishnah, Kayotsebo lo yochal hazav. The Mishnah mentioned that a Zav should not eat together at the same table with a Zava. The Zava is a woman who is forbidden because of a blood flow she is experiencing. It's forbidden to conduct intimacy with her. So a husband and wife he is a Zav and she is a Zava should not eat together. Before we continue in the Gemara itself, let's glance at the side where we have a topic heading, in this case a general topic heading, Nosei Klali. General topic here is Harchokos Mipnei Chashash Hergel Avera, where the halacha intercedes in order to prevent a serious offense from taking place, so we make a Harchoka. We impose an additional prohibition, a distancing from the actual offense. So we turn to the Gemara, Tanya, Reb Shimon Elazar Omer, Bo Urei Ad Heichon Porz Taro B'Yisrael. Come and see how extensive the Jewish people take upon themselves purity. Shelo Shoninu, we don't teach in the Mishnah, Lo Yochal HaTohor Im HaTemea, that a person who is Tohor should not eat with the Temea. That's obvious, and Rashi points out that's because everyone was noheg to eat their chulin, even though chulin, by letter of the law, chulin is common food as opposed to trumas and kochim, tithes and sacrificial meat, but chulin is common food, does not have to, by letter of the law, be eaten in a state of purity. Nevertheless, the public accepted upon themselves that level of stringency whereby they treat their chulin as b'tahara. They treat it in maintaining it in a state of purity. So it doesn't need to be taught that a person who is tohor will not eat together with a person who is tome. That's obvious. Elo lo yochal hazav im hazova mipnei hergel avera. Here you have a situation where they're both tome, and still they will keep themselves apart from one another, not because of any food consideration, but because of the fear of if they were to eat together, they might come to a level of closeness and desirability of one to the other and stumble in intimacy, and that would be already a Torah level offense. Kayotze bo lo yochal zav porush im zav amoretz. Here we're talking about two men that should not eat together. Zav Porush is a Zav. He happens to have experienced an emission called Ziva. And he is a Porush, means he's someone who is careful with Torah law, Torah observance, and especially the realm of tithing his food. And he should not eat together with a Zav who is an Am Haaretz. Shemo Yargilenu Etzlo. Now we have an expression here, Shemo Yargilenu Etzlo, as it will call it a first attempt to explain why a Zav Porush should not eat with a Zav Haaretz, or why the Zav Porush did not eat together with a Zav Amoretz. Now the triangle that you see here is featured on the side of the Gemara under our topic heading, which we combine with the structural note, the Nosei Mivneh heading. You can see the triangle there, and we've written Nisyonos Lahasbir Hadikotoni Lo Yochal Zav Porush Im Zav Oretz. We're trying to understand why is it that a Zav Porush, again a Zav is a male, a man that experienced a certain type of emission. This is an emission that we're not familiar with today, as opposed to a semen emission, but it's called, it's a different type of emission called zov. So a zov, a zav, who is porush, who is a, as we say, he's diligent in his Torah observance, should not eat together with a zav, who is an amoretz, who is an ignoramus. And we see in this source, it says, Shemo yargilenu etzlo. Now, yargilenu means he might, they might become accustomed to eat together with one another. Now, the word yargilenu could be translated as something to do with regular. In fact, in the Hebrew word yargilenu, rogil, you can see the English word regular. So the Gemara asks, v'chi margilo etzlo mayhave, so what if they happen to become regulars with one another? What problem is there in that? Elo Emo, here we're at the second stage in trying to understand the teaching in the source about why the Zav Porush should not eat with the Zav Amoretz. Shemo Ya'achilenu Devorim Temeim. We're afraid that the Zav Amoretz might feed the Zav Porush things that are tome, things that are ritually impure. The Gemara asks, but how, so what? Why should that make any difference here? Otu Zav Porush Lav Dvorim Temeim Ochil. Is a Zav who is Porush, his Torah level of observance has nothing to do with the ritual purity of his food. After all, if he's a Zav, the second he touches the food becomes Tomei. So whatever he eats, even if he's eating on his own, is going to be Tomei. So why again should the Zav Porush not eat with the Zav Amoretz? You can't tell me it's because of a Tum'ah consideration. So Omar Abaye, we're calling Abaye Aleph in contrast with Rava's explanation that will come next two lines. Abaye says, "Gzeiro shemo ya'achilenu devorim she'enon mesukonim." We're afraid that if they eat together, so the Zav Amoretz will feed him food items that have not been tithed. Enon mesukonim, have not been tithed. Rava rejects this, but Rava Omar Roiv Amei Oris Ma'asrin Hain. The majority of ignoramuses did tend to their tithing. They were diligent in their tithing. So, if you have a situation where the majority of Amoratsim were Mafrish Maisris, so then there would be no grounds for having the Zav Porush avoid the Zav Amoretz. We, in Halacha, follow the majority, and the majority would tithe, so there should be no problem. Elo, so Rava suggests, and we're calling this Beis, Shemo Yehe Rogil Etzlo V'Achilenu Dvorim Temein Bimei Taharosoi. If they accustom themselves to eating together when they're Tomei, they might continue to eating with one the Zav Porush might continue eating with the Zav Amoret, with the in other words, the man who is right now a Zav, but when he becomes Tohor, he might continue because of his familiarity and friendship with this Amoretz, the Porush will continue eating with him when he, the Porush, is Tohor and wants to maintain, in theory, he wants to maintain Tahara, and the Amoretz, who is not diligent in the realm of Tumen Tahara, he will feed his friend, the Porush, things that are Tomei, that are Tohor, let's say that again, things that are Tomei when he, the Porush, is in fact Tohor. Ibaya Loho, here the Gemara asks a question that's sort of independent from the discussion before, but in the general realm of what the Mishnah had mentioned, that a Zav should not eat with the Zava because of their possible coming to intimacy. So, Ibaya Loho, the Gemara asks here, Nida Mao Shetishan Imbailo Hi Bevigdo Vehu Bevigdo. Before we go on in the Gemara, we featured this as the topic heading. We have on the side of our Gemara the Nosei. The Nosei is the topic heading, and we've indicated that this continues till Omid Beis, and we feature this as a Sheila, a question. Nida, a woman who is menstruant, and we know that as such she is Tamea, and of course forbidden to be in intimacy with her husband during this time. Can she sleep together with him in a bed, both of them clothed? That's Mahu Shetishan im Bailo Bemito Echas, he bevigdo vehu bevigdo. So that they are fully clothed, so the fear of them coming to a state of intimacy is highly reduced, but they are in the same bed. Is that okay? That's the Gemara's question. Now, a word about structure. We have a house form, and under our Mivneh heading, the house form are Deos Be'inyan Hanal. These are opinions on this matter. So you see Rav Yosef featured here, and we call him Roman numeral number 1 to contrast him with, further down the page, Rabbi Pedos. You can see along the right-hand side of the Gemara text, in the middle of the wide lines, there is, to the right-hand side of that line, a Roman numeral number 2 in a little house shape. So these are two general approaches. We're going to notice under Rav Yosef and Aleph and Beis, there are two Lashonos of the featuring the Rav Yosef approach, two versions of Rav Yosef, and that we feature, as we said, with the Aleph and Beis, also to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You'll notice where the Beis is, the term Iko de Amri is squiggle underline, and we do that when we have alternative expressions in the Gemara. We highlight it with a squiggle underline. You'll also be noticing a geometric form, a trapezoid, that appears in alternating directions. And this is featured under our Mivneh heading. We call this a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the give-and-take style of the Gemara. With the narrower part facing upwards, we have indicated kivun le'esor. This points to a direction forbidding the couple to be together, in fully clothed, in the same bed. And with the form, with the geometric form flipped, with the narrow part facing downwards, d'chiyah, that's a rejection of whatever was trying to be proven. And we have the Aleph and Beis, as we indicated before, these are two Lishonos b'divrei Rav Yosef. So now that you have an overview of the sugya, we start. The question has been raised, and Omar Rav Yosef Toshma. So let's try to answer the question by the following quote: a Tanaic source, Ha'oif Oyle Im Hagvino Ala Shulchan V'Eino Ne'echal Divrei Beishamai. Bird means oaf is bird meat, fowl meat, as is the case of chicken, can be placed on the same table with cheese, though they are not to be eaten together. The Rashi points out, Al Hashulchan She'oichel Olav, on the same table that you're eating on, as opposed to, let's say, a countertop where food is prepared. Here we're talking about the table surface that you eat on. Mutar Laniach Basar Ha'oif Eitzel Hagvina, you can have bird meat next to cheese. To Kosavri Beishamai Basar Oif B'cholov Lav D'Raisa, even if one were to cook chicken with milk, he would not be involved in a Torah level violation. So that's a perception, a certain it's an approach to Basar, but it's in the realm of Basar B'cholov. Basar Oif B'cholov is not Doraisa, says Beis Shammai. And if that be the case, so that would have been the worst case scenario. But if the worst case scenario itself is only rabbinic, so V'lo Gazrinon Ha'alo Otu Achila, we're not going to ban the placing on the same surface top in anticipation of one coming to eat them together. Because even if one were to eat them together, there would still not be a Torah level violation. So he allows the chicken and the cheese on the same tabletop. He's not saying to eat them together, because that is nevertheless osur midurabonan, but we're not going to create a harchoka on this matter. Now that's Beis Shammai's approach. Beis Hillel Omrim, Beis Hillel Omer, Lo Ole Velo Ne'echal. Beis Hillel is strict, and this is an unusual area of halacha where you find Beis Hillel ruling more strictly than Beis Shammai, but yet we follow Beis Hillel, and therefore, in other words, we want the Rav Yosef is bringing in this source because of Beis Hillel's opinion, from which we will conclude that it's usur for the couple to be together. Just like we create this distance between the chicken and the cheese, we will create a distance between the couple. The Gemara rejects this attempt of concluding our question from the chicken cheese issue. Shaini hasam deleka deos. There, you don't have two different people. You just have one person who's eating on the table, and if there would be cheese and chicken on the same surface, so there's no one to remind you not to eat them together. However, in the case of the couple, so if one were to be overcome by a sense of desire, so the other would remind them that I'm in a state of tuma and we can't have intimacy right now. The Gemara continues and says, "Hochi nami mistabra." It's also likely, thusly, dehecha deika deos shiny, that in the case where there would be two people, then shiny, it's different, and it would be allowed, that Beis Hillel would concede that it would be allowed. De katoni seifa, Rav Shmuel omer shnei ach senoyim, oichle al shulchan echad, two visitors, they're at an inn together, and they're eating on the same table. The one fellow can eat his meat meal, and the other one can eat his dairy meal, and we are not worried. So here you see that if you have two people, one will remind the other, and we can actually act in leniency. The Gemara responds to that, and here we have an upright trapezoid form, but this comes to reinstate Rav Yosef's position of stringency. So the Gemara goes on to say, "Valav itmar Allah." Hey, you're quoting from the case with these guests, with these visitors. But was it not said concerning that case, "Omar Abchonin bar Ami Omar Shmuel lo shonu eloshein makirin zeetze"? The heter of two achsanoyim, the leniency of having two guests eating together on the same table, that's only if they don't know one another, they're not familiar with one another. So there's a certain already built-in distance, if you will, because of their lack of familiarity, and true, then one won't come to eat from the other's food, and they won't have a mixing of milk and meat. But if these visitors, these achsanoyim, recognize or are friendly with one another, then they could not eat the meat and the milk on the same table because of the familiarity factor, and they might, one will come eat the mix the meat and the milk together in their meal. The hochinami, and with the case of the husband and wife, makirin ze et ze ninu, they are familiar. There's a husband and wife there. Obviously, they are makir one another, and therefore we should not allow them to be together, even though they're fully clothed in the same bed. The Gemara responds, and here we have the inverted triangle, hochi hashta. How still can you compare the case of two guests that recognize one another, and you want to say that they cannot eat their meal on the same table, one dairy, one meat? How can you compare that with this couple? Hasam, in the case of the eaters, deos ika shinui leka. You have two people. That's a point in favor of allowing them to be together. However, they have a strike against them, shinui leka. There's nothing unusual about their meal. They're simply sat down to eat a meal without any shin, without any particular change. And therefore, even though you have deos, nevertheless, there still is the fear of mixing the food one with the other, because there is nothing unusual about their situation. Hacha, in the case of the husband and wife, ika deos, you have the two people, which is a reason to be lenient, V'iko shinui. And you have an additional reason for being lenient, and that is that they are in an unusual fashion. Usually, a couple, and this is pointed out by Rashi, based on the Gemara in Ksubis, that a couple sleeps what's known as bekiruv basar. Kiruv basar means, literally, would be unclothed. They're flesh to flesh, it's a husband and wife, that's how they sleep together. So having them fully clothed in the same bed, that's a shinui, that's unusual. And therefore, that will create a further memory device unusual feature, creating greater distance. And therefore, we could afford to allow them to be in the same bed together. And you'll notice at this point in the Gemara, this is the conclusion at this point is not like Rav Yosef wanted to conclude. So that if you follow the give and take of the Gemara, Rav Yosef at the Roman numeral number 1 featured a toshma with the narrow part of that trapezoid facing up in an attempt to conclude the he bevigdo, the hu bevigdo should be usser. Here we are not concluding that way, and this last trapezoid form was flipped over, indicating to the contrary of the direction Rav Yosef was trying to take. Iko di Amri. And now this is a second version of the approach, or the attempt to resolve the question. It's the same question of the Nido Mao Shitishan I Bevigdo Vahu Bevigdo. So we try to resolve it, and we do so with a Toshma, and we're going to continue the same marking scheme. Narrow part facing up is an attempt to conclude prohibition. So we bring a source in, Rav Shimon, and we should also point out that this we use a long marking for this, the tuff that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the text with a descending vertical dashed line shows us that all of these lines are part of this attempt. So we say, Rav Shimon Omer, Shnei Achsenoyim, Oichlim al Shulchan Echad. We saw this earlier, two visitors, at an inn, can eat on the same table. Shulchan Echad Zeh Basar V'Zeh Gvino, one his meat meal, and the other one eating his dairy meal. The Itmar Allah, Omer Rav Chonon Bar Ami Omer Shmuel, and Rav Chonon commented, Lo Shanu, the teaching of allowance is Elo She'ein Makirin Zeh Zeh. That's only if they are not familiar with one another. So there's a natural distance built in between these two Achsenoim, these two guests. Avol Makirin Zeh Zeh Oser. But if they are familiar with one another, so we will not allow them to eat their meal on the same table surface. The Hani Nami, the husband and wife, Makirin Zeh Et Zeninu. They are familiar with one another, and therefore we should asur them, ban them. And that's so up to this point, this is the Toshma, with the narrow part having been facing up till this point, direction showing prohibition. The trapezoid flips over. Hossam, in the case of the two visitors, Deos Iko Shinui Leko. It's true you have two people, but you don't have any change. So they're not sitting together in an unusual situation. Hence, there still is a fear of eating the meat and milk together. Hocha Iko Deos V'Iko Shinui. In the case of the husband and wife, you have two people, but you also have them fully clothed. As we pointed out before, that was a shinui, and that's the reason, because now you have two factors in the direction of leniency. We could afford to allow them to together. Ta Shma, we have a source. Lo yochal hazav im hazava mishum hergel avera. The zav and zava should not eat together because of the fear of their coming to intimacy with one another. So we see this second attempt in the Iko D'Amri is trying to show prohibition. The Gemara rejects this. Hochinami Deos Iko Shinui Leko. With the Zav and Zava eating together, it's true you have two separate people, but there's no Shinui. They're sitting down to eat a meal together, and without any unusual factor. So therefore we create a distance. However, in the case of the couple, you have the two deos, and you also have this unusual situation of them both being fully clothed. Hence, we could afford to be lenient on that. Toshma, another attempt to show prohibition. And in this, as far as the structure is concerned, this is going to stick as far as this sequence of reasoning is concerned. And it's, as you can see, the trapezoid is facing, narrow part facing up, so we're going to conclude prohibition. Toshma, we have a Tanaic source, opening with a pasuk from Yechezkel. It says, El Hehorim lo ochal, v'enov lo nosa el glule beis Yisrael, v'seishis re'ehu lo time, v'el isha nida lo ikrov. So the pasuk is describing someone who is practicing, we'll say, proper halachic existence. And it says, Eishes re'ehu lo time, he did, the person described here does not, did not encounter or engage his friend's wife. He didn't, time is to defame her or to violate her. The al isha nida lo yikrov, and he didn't draw close to his menstruant wife. Makish isha nida le'eshes re'ehu. In this pasuk, there is an attempt to compare these two cases. Ma eshes re'ehu u bevigdoi ve'i bevigda asur, just like someone else's wife. So you wouldn't have a man and his friend's wife in the same bed, even though they're fully clothed. So just like that is asur. Af ishto nida hu bevigdo ve'hi bevigda asur. So to his own wife, he and she, fully clothed in the same bed, would not be allowed. Shma mino. So this is conclusive. The Tosfos deals with the issue of just questions the assumption of how do you know that man with his friend's wife in the same bed is forbidden, even though they're fully clothed. So Tosfos says that it is a matter, it's a matter of logic, of simple reasoning, that a, that is his a person, you would be enticing your inclination, your evil inclination, just a bit too much if they were to be like that. So therefore, for our purposes, we'll just say it's an obvious point that a man with his friend's wife fully clothed, even though they're fully clothed, would not be allowed in the same bed. So we extend this through the hekish, through the comparison in the pasuk to the case of a man with his nida wife. Upligo de Rebbe Pedos. The approach of Rav Yosef that concluded our question based on a pasuk, there's a verse that was quoted from Yechezkel, this approach is at odds with the approach taken to these matters by Rebbe Pedos. So that at this point we're going to suggest that there is no argument in terms of in practice between Rav Yosef and Rebbe Pedos in banning the couple from being together, but on what basis will we ban them? According to Rav Yosef, it's based on a scriptural reference. According to Rebbe Pedos, it would not be a scriptural reference, but purely rabbinic. In truth, Rashi doesn't learn like that with regard to our topic, but Rashi will explain that Rebbe Pedos will actually allow he bevigda v'hu bevigda, allow it completely. Let's now continue in the Gemara. Upligo de Rebbe Pedos, the approach taken by Rav Yosef is at odds with Rebbe Pedos. The Amar Rebbe Pedos, lo osra toira ela kurva shel gilui arayus mamish, shel gilui arayus bilvad. That means from psukim, the Torah, from psukim, from verses, we will not conclude that there is any prohibition other than actual sexual relations. That's kurva shogili arayos mamash. Actual intimacy between man and woman that are forbidden to one another. That's what, as far as the verses are concerned. What would result from that is that any other form of contact, something other than actual intimacy, let's say a hugging, even in an unclothed fashion, but no actual act of intimacy, what we call kiruv basar, that would be prohibited on a rabbinic level. Once again, actual flesh contact without the act of intimacy, as far as Rabbi Pedos is concerned, that's forbidden, but only midrabbanan. Therefore, if you have a couple fully clothed, where you don't even have the kiruv basar element, it's a more lenient situation, a less severe situation, that would not be prohibited even midrabbanan. So the Gemara goes on with Rabbi Pedos, Shinemar, the Pasuk says, Ish Ish El Kol She'er Besoro Lo Sikruvu Legalois Erva. Rabbi Pedos says, when the Torah forbids man and woman from being together, it means literally Legalois Erva, which is an act of actual intimacy. But that's as far as the Torah goes. When it comes to any other type of man-woman contact, that would put you in a rabbinic realm. And therefore, only in the, we'll call the more severe situations, will the rabbis ban things. And in the less problematic, like the case of hu bevigdo vehi bevigdo, that wouldn't be usur at all. That's the approach of Rabbi Pedos. We continue with two versions. We have Ula, double underline, and labeled Aleph and Beis. And on the side of the Gemara under our Mivne heading, we've written Shnei Beis Hanhogas or Gishos Shel Ula, two behaviors or approaches represented by Ula. The Gemara says, Ula, ki hava osimi bei rav, Ula, when he would come home from his yeshiva where he was learning, Hava menashik lehu la'achvose abe chodayu, he would kiss his sister on her chest. The amri lo abe yodayu. Another version is on her hands. So we have an example of a physical contact between brother and sister, which are in effect a case of man and woman that are usur to one another, and Ula is allowing this type of physical contact. Upligo didei adidei, and Ula, in what we featured so far, is at odds with another statement of his. Yomar Ula. Ula says, "Afilu shum kurva usur." Any type of contact between a man and woman that are forbidden to one another. Any type of contact is forbidden. Mishum, because of the idea expressed in the following saying, which we'll first explain before we read it, is we try to keep things at a distance from one another. We try to keep potential problems distanced. As it says in the following saying regarding a nazir, who is someone who is forbidden from partaking of wine and other grape products, we say, Lech Lech Amri Nazira, Schor Schor. We tell the Nazir, go away, go round. Schor Schor means go around. Go around Lekarma, Lo Sikrav. Don't draw near to the vineyard. In other words, we don't want to take any chances. We don't want to have the Nazir strolling through a vineyard. Why not? Because if he strolls through the vineyard, he might come to eat from the grapes. And that would be an actual violation. So we impose a distancing. We tell him, go the long way around. Similarly, with regard to male-female, Ula is saying, don't kiss one another. Because if you get involved with kissing with one another, then it could lead to even a greater level of offense, as would be the case in intimacy. So Tosfos points out that one should not think that Ula was acting hypocritically in, on the one hand, he himself kissing his sister, on the other hand, preaching maintenance of distance. So Tosfos says that Ula had a very high level of self-awareness, that he would not come to stumbling in this matter. And the Tosfos quotes a precedent for this, namely another incident that's featured in Maseches Ksubis, where we find Rav Ada Bar Ava dancing with a bride at a wedding on his own shoulders. A rather unusual behavior. His students in Maseches Ksubis, his students ask Rav Ada, he asks him, can we do the same thing? So he answers them, well, if she appears to you like a beam of wood on your shoulders, then go right ahead. And with that answer, you can see how Rav Ada was relating to the bride on his shoulders. He had no feeling whatsoever of anything in even remotely related to intimacy or other types of, we'll call it, foul play. So Ula was in the same position with regard to his sister. He had no, sexual, emotional feelings toward her, and therefore he did that. But in Ula Bays was preaching to the public, to the rank and file who are not at that level, and therefore any form of kurva, closeness, a physical closeness, is to be banned. The Gemara continues in this general topic. Toni Debei Elio. We have a Tanaic source from Elio Hanovi. Maise b'Talmid Echod. Shishona Habe, we're just going to describe here a student who had learned a lot of Mishnayos, Vikor Habe, learned a lot of Tanakh, Vishimesh Tamechom Habe, also learned a lot of Gemara. And he was quite accomplished in his Torah scholarship, we can say. Umeis Bechatzi Yomov, and he died at half life. So if a person's life expectancy is 70 years, we'll say he died at 35. The widow would take his tefillin and go from shul to shul, from yeshiva to yeshiva, the omra lohem, and she would proclaim, "Ksiv b'Torah ki uchayecho v'yuruch yomecha." It says regarding the Torah that it is a source of longevity. That one who preoccupies himself with Torah study has arichas yomim. Ba'ali, shishona, my husband, shishona harbe v'kara harbe, v'shimesh tachom harbe. We're at the top of Omid Beis, where it says v'shimesh tamidi chachom harbe. My husband, who was immersed in Torah study, as we describe, v'tnei ma meis b'chatz yom. Of why did he die at so young, at half life? V'lohoy odam achzira davar. No one answered her. Once I, Elio Anovi, is saying, I visited her. And she was saying over this whole incident, the Omarti law, and I addressed her and it said, Biti, bimei nidusech mahu etzlech, when you were a nida, how did he conduct himself? Omra li, chas v'sholom afilu be'etzvaktana lo nogabi. When I was an actual nida, heaven forbid, he didn't even touch my, even with his small finger, he didn't touch me. And there was no contact. Question, Vimei libunech mahu etzlech. Libunech are the days after a woman is in a state of tumah, when the blood flow stops, so there is a period of counting 7 clean days. And during those days, so there's a prohibition of conducting intimacy with one another, even though the actual blood flow has stopped. So Elio asks her, "Bimei libunech mahu etzlech?" Well, what was your relationship during the libunech? The word libunech, by the way, comes from lavan. During those days, a woman is expected to wear white clothing, especially with regard to undergarments, to reveal if there is any subsequent blood flow. So these are the days that she's counting toward her purification, which is a 7-day period of no blood flow. So he asked, Elio asked her, what was your relationship during those days? Answer, she answers, Ochal imi, v'shosimi, v'yoshan imi, b'kiruv basar. He ate with me, drank with me, and slept with me, even in a state of kiruv basar, with physical flesh-body contact. V'lo olso daito al dover acher. But it did not occur to him, he wouldn't have thought of conducting intimacy, though. V'yomarti lo, and I said to her, says Elio, Boruch hamokom shaharago, blessed be the Almighty that killed him. Shelo nosa ponim l'tora, that he did not play favorites with regard to Torah law. Shari omro Torah v'el isha benidas tumaso lo sikrav. The Torah says that a woman, that as long as she is in her nidos state, and Rashi adds, very importantly, it means until she immerses herself in the mikveh, and that doesn't take place till after the clean days, we call the Shiva Nikiyim, and she doesn't go up till then to the mikveh, she is considered a nida. And in that context, it says, lo sikrav, that they should have no closeness with one another. And he was experiencing this kiruv basar with you, and that's a violation. Ki osa Ravdimi Omar mito chado havoi. Ravdimi's version of this story is that there was no kiruv basar, but still there was a problem, and that they were in the same bed, and the husband in that story was figuring that's not a problem. B'marova Amri in Eretz Yisrael, they explain this even further. Omar Rav Yitzchok Bar Yosef Sinor Mafsik Beino Leveina. Rashi explains Sinor gives a French word and says Shehi Chogeres Bo Umagia Mimosnaim Lumata. Was a type of you could say either wide belt or cloth that was from her midsection downwards. Again, a means of preventing actual intimacy. And as Rashi says, that he thought that was all right. And the story comes to report that even this kind of behavior is not acceptable, and that's why he died so young. We continue now with the Mishnah. V'elu min ha'alochus sha'omru ba'aliyas Chananya ben Chizkiya ben Goron sha'olu levakroi. These are amongst the different halachic rulings that were decided upon in the attic or the second story of Chananya ben Chizkiya. Nimnu v'rovu be'shamaya be'silel. The students or the scholars of the house of Shammai and Hillel went to visit him, and they had voted. That's nimnu. They voted at the rovu be'shamaya al be'silel, and the be'shamai rulings were accepted because of their outnumbering the be'silel. V'shmoynes u'dvorim gozru bo bayom, and 18 rulings were ruled upon that day. As we go on in the next few dapim, we're going to be tracing these 18 rulings mentioned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah opens up with the word v'elu, as far as our text is concerned, but even though that's what's printed in the Mishnah, one doesn't always take for granted that that's what the accurate text is. Hence, our Gemara asks, Omar le Abayla Rav Yosef, elu tanan o v'elu tanan? Is the Mishnah to open up with the word elu, or with the word v'elu, with a vav? You'll ask, what's the difference? So the Gemara spells it out. Ve'elu tanan. Does the Mishnah open up with the ve'elu with the vav, which would equal hani de amoron, those halachas that were mentioned earlier, namely the lo yifale and lo yikra lo yohaner, two halachas that were mentioned in the previous Mishnah, and that and they are alluded to in this Mishnah, namely, and that the lo yifale and lo yikra lo yohaner, ve'elu min halachas, and these are amongst the 18 halachas that were decided upon in that aliyah of Hananiah ben Chizkiah. Oy, elu tanan. Or are we to understand or to read the Mishnah without the vav? And elu, these are devo'ino lemeimor kamon, those things that are will be taught later in the upcoming Mishnah, where it mentions ein shorin dio v'chulei, other halachas that we haven't learned yet, and that this Mishnah simply is an introduction to what is coming up, and it's not a continuation of that which was already referred to. So the question has been raised, is it Elu Tanan or Ve'elu Tanan? And the Nafkamina, as we said, are the two halachas we've already learned about, the Lo Yifal V'Likra, are they part of the 18? The 18 gzeros that were ruled upon that day. So the Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to answer this. Ein, we have a Tanaic source, Ein poilin lior haner, v'ein korin lior haner, v'elu min halochos sha'omru ba'aliyas Hananya ben Chizkia ben Goroi. That's an entire Tanaic source, which ends at this point. Shma mino, we see from this, ve'elu tanan, shma mino, the fact that this Tanaic source makes reference to Ein Poilin and Ein Korin Lior Haner, and mentions that they are of the halachas decided upon in that attic, we see that the when it comes to our Mishnah, ve'elu tanan, it's with the vav. Tosfos points out here, how does this brisa, how is it so conclusive? So there's a very short tosis. Shma mino ve'elu tanan de lo kotoni boser hachi. There is nothing that follows this particular brisa, kidiktoni v'masnisen, as opposed to our Mishnah, where it opens. Our Mishnah here has ve'elu min halachas, and there's a subsequent Mishnah that continues, which that says ein shorin es hadio v'chulei, more halachas that follow, leaving room to think that maybe our Mishnah was a simple opener to something that follows. But this source doesn't have anything that follows, and hence it is conclusive that the Ein Poilin and the Ein Korin Lior Haner are part of the 18 halachas. We continue with the Gemara, but first we have a topic heading, a structural note on the side, where you can see we've written in the Nosei Mivneh, we feature a diamond, and we note Hananya ben Chizkiah, number one, Kosav Megillas Tainis, he compiled a work known as Megillas Tainis, which is an extensive list of days that are associated with a certain level of festivity, whereby we won't fast on those days, and we might not have eulogies on those days, and we'll call it a calendar of happy days, and that's called Megillas Tainis. Another point that will be mentioned is Yishev, that Hananya ben Chizkiah resolved stiros b'sefer Yecheskel, contradictions that are found in the Pesukim of Sefer Yecheskel. Tanu Rabbanan, Mi Kosav Megillas Tainis, who compiled the list of holidays in the work known as Megillas Tainis? Omru, Hananya ben Chizkiah of Siato. They said that it was Hananya ben Chizkiah and his Siato, his literally his generation or his colleagues, those that were working along with him. Show you, Mechavvin es Hatzoros. Now here's an expression that we won't translate literally, because the literal translation would sound preposterous, saying that they loved troubles. But Rashi explains, "Mechavas Hatzoros shenigolin mehem." They endeared the days that they were, that the Jewish people were redeemed from Tzaras. Vanes chovav aleim lahaskiro l'shvachos shel Kodesh Baruch Hu. They found it. They found endearment to the miracles that the Almighty wrought for the Jews on these different dates that they recorded, and they felt that by recording these dates, this was a praise of the Almighty. And they would record these dates that miracles befell the Jewish people, and made them into quasi-holidays. And Kagon, and here what Rashi does is he quotes the opening of the text of Megillas Tainis, where it says, "Eilin yoimin v'lo lisano b'hon." These are the days that one is not to fast on, because that would mitigate the level of festivity due to such occasions. So the Gemara continues, "Omar of Shimon Liel, af onu mechaven es atzoros." He says that we too are like that we are very happy about the days that we are redeemed from all kinds of oppression and affliction. And here there are like three points that are made in the source why we don't record these days. We don't record any subsequent days. First of all, he says that if we were to try to do that, there would be just so many. It's an expression of praise, in a sense, to the Almighty. How many miracles he renders for us, and we just wouldn't be able to record all of them. Dover Acher, another explanation why we don't continue recording days of miracles. Ein Shoite Nifka. Rashi explains. Ein Pegara Bo Olov. The Shoite is the fool. It could be described someone has a very severe mental, he's mentally incapacitated. He's a shoita. And nothing bad befalls them. Klomar, eino makir bifgov. He doesn't recognize, he doesn't feel any pain because of his mental state. He doesn't suffer, so to speak. Kach kamonisim boim lanu veinonu makirin bohen. So to we have many miracles that befall us, and we don't recognize them. Dover Acher, Ein Basar Hameis Margish Bizemel. The third reason that we don't record additional miraculous days is because dead flesh doesn't feel the knife. Another description of it: we're a bunch of deadheads, so to speak. We're so numb and don't appreciate the miracles that are really happening. So who are we to record them in the first place? The Gemara asks on this last point. This last point seems to be inaccurate in its portrayal or its description. Says Amy, is that really so? V'omar Rav Yitzchok Kosher Rimo Lameis Kemachad Bifsar Achai. The decomposition of the corpse is painful, like a needle in the flesh of the living. Shenemar ach besor lov yichav v'nafsho lov te'aval. So this pasuk indicates that besor lov yichav, the flesh of the decomposing mace, feels the pain. I am personally. Of the opinion that even though one might read a Gemara like this and say, hey, what are you talking about? We know that when a person is dead, we attach all kinds of monitors to them. There is an indication of a flat line indicating no reaction to pain. That may be as far as what we today, with our current technology, are able to evaluate. But who is to say that in a number of years maybe there will be a form of technology that actually does show that the corpse does experience pain? As an example of this, if someone would have told you 300 years ago that there are voices that fly through the air, one might have looked to the other as something ridiculous. But
Well, with the invention of the radio, for example, we now know that there are voices in a manner of speaking that flow through the air. You simply need the right device to pick up on it. So one should not dismiss this kind of Gemara as simply untenable because of what our current technology appears to register. So here we're challenging this portrayal of the dead don't feel anything when the dead do feel things. So the Gemara says, well, we have to restate the original source. Emo say rather ein basar hameis shebechai margish bizemel. On the flesh of a living person, there is on in many cases, if you'll find this on many people's feet, there is dry skin, or in the case of warts and other kinds of growths where the skin the skin of a living person is dead. If a person puts a knife to it, he doesn't feel anything. There's no sense of pain, and so that's what the source, when it said Dover Acher Ein Basar Hameis, it meant the dead flesh on a live person doesn't feel the knife. So we too don't feel the miracles, even though the Kodesh Baruch Hu is performing them all the time for us. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, Bram Zohur Oso Ish Latoiv. Rav Yehuda, quoting Rav, says that in truth we must remember the following man for good. Remember him for the good he's done. V'chanan ben Chizkiah Shmo, and his name is Chanan ben Chizkiah, Shilmolehu, if not for him, Nigna Sefer Yecheskel, Shedvorov Soysum Divrei Torah. If not for his efforts, we would have put the book of Yecheskel out of circulation. We would have buried it because it has things in it that seem to contradict Torah teachings. Rashi cites an example of this. Under Dibur Masel, Divrei Torah, Rashi says, "Kigoy Nevelu Treifa Lo Yochlu HaKoyanim." In the book of Yecheskel, it says that the Kohanim shall not eat Nevela and Treifa, leaving room for one to think, "Hol Yisrael Ochlim." Through inference, you say, the Kohanim cannot eat, but you're leaving me to think that non Kohanim are allowed to eat Nevela and Treifa, which would contradict what the Torah says. The Torah doesn't qualify the prohibition, but it's across the boards. Ukigon v'chein taaseh b'shiva b'chodesh, and in the book of Yecheskel, there's some reference to a festivity and sacrificial offerings offered on the seventh of the month. Heichon nirmas korban zebator. Where in the Torah is there any reference to sacrifices offered on the seventh of the month? So the Gemara says that Chanan ben Chizkiah, he took care of these seeming inconsistencies. Ma'asa, what did he do? Helu lo yishlosh me'ez garbi shemen. They brought up for him to his attic 300 flasks of oil, some for fuel, some for food. V'yoshav aliyah v'darshan, he sat and with a concerted effort explained the psukim in Yecheskel. We mentioned earlier that we mentioned at the end of our Mishnah that Yud Ches Dvorim Gozru Bo Vayom. My Ninhu Shmonos Adavar. What were the 18 rulings? Disnan. So we must mention ahead of time, we have a little note, you can see there's a little design here drawing your attention to the note in the margin of our Gemara. You see a corresponding little design. She'elas ma'heim shmonesu davar shonu b'machlokes tanoim. As far as this question of what constitute the 18 points of law that were ruled upon, that the Mishnah makes reference to is actually a Tanaic controversy. This discussion continues, even though we're right now on Daf Yud Gimel Beis. It's a very long discussion. It continues till Yud Zayin Beis. Pirut Hagzeris Nimtzo Barashi Daf Yud Zayin Beis Dibur Masel Honichal Rabbi Meir. There is a Rashi that lists the 18 Gzeris found on Daf Yud Zayin Beis. And we continue pointing out Ad Koi Moninu Shtayim. Up till now, we've mentioned two of the Gzeros, Ein Poilin Vein Korin. So that if one is even trying to keep track, bear in mind that two of the 18 we have already mentioned, namely the prohibition of Poilin and reading Lior Haner on Shabbos. The Gemara now answers Disnan. We have a Tanaic source, and this Tanaic source will take you to the second line from the bottom, and in this source, nine more Gezeros will be mentioned. Nine more in addition to the two we've already dealt with. The general theme of this source, we can say, has to do with the realm of Tum'ah. Disnan, Elu Poslin Es HaTruma. The following will ruin Truma. Poslin means ruin, or to render unfit. However, there's a term, the term Poslin is often used in contrast with the word Mitamin. When something is Tomei, the thing that became ritually impure is vested with the power of communicating tuma down to another, at least another one item. When something is puzzle, we say it is ruined, but it doesn't communicate ruination or tuma to something else. In other words, the ruination stops at this point. So we say here, Elu poisonous a truma, the following will ruin truma. Ha'oichel, oichel rishon ve'oichel, oichel sheni, a person that ate food that's tomei to the Rishon or the Sheni level of Tuma. So someone who ate food that's a Rishon or Sheni Latuma, he, this person, if he touches Truma, will ruin the Truma. Vashoyse Mashkim Tameim, someone who drank liquids that are impure. We should emphasize, even though we really should emphasize this every line we continue with, we are dealing with the rulings that they made in this attic, and these are not Torah level prohibitions, because on the Torah level, food and drink do not render a person tomei; they have no effect on a person on a Torah level. So, therefore, we're dealing with rabbinic rulings here. Another thing that would ruin truma is a person v'abo roshe v'rubo b'mayim shuvim. This is a person that had been tomei, and he immersed himself in a mikveh. After going to the mikveh, he then put his head and the majority of his body into drawn water. We can use a more simple example of this. Someone, after having gone to the mikveh, goes and then runs into a shower. That would be an example of mayim shuvim, drawn water, as opposed to a mikveh, which is a pool of accumulated rain water. If someone did this, so he would be considered someone who would ruin Truma. Why? This is something the Gemara deals with at length as we go on in the Sugya. What else? V'tohor shenaflo al roshav ruba shloshu lugin mayim shuvim. A person was tohor, completely tohor. Unlike the case just before of habo roshav ruba, the mayim shuvim, here's a person that was completely tohor, but someone spilled on his head 3 lug. Lug is a liquid measure, so 3 lug of drawn water that will render him rabbinically tomei to ruin truma if he should touch it. V'ha-sefer. Sefer is something like a sefer Torah, called a holy scroll. V'ha-yodayim, hands that are have the hands before they are washed. But before we do Netilas Yodayim, 2 hands, the Hatvul Yom, a person who went to the mikveh, but there's been no sunset yet. The problem with this particular mention is that this is something that will ruin Truma Doraisa. So why is it included in this list? We'll stay tuned. The Oichlim Vakelim Shenitmu B'Mashkin, food or vessels that became Tomei through their contact with mashkim, with liquids that are tomei. So all of these things, if they come into contact with the truma tithe, will render the truma unfit. The Gemara asks, "Man tana ho'echol echol rishon ve'echol echol sheni mifsal pasli Tumuye. We continue here at the top of Daf Yud Dalid. Lo Metamu. Again, let's read that line again. That who is the who would teach that Ha'echol Harishon Ochol Sheni Mifsal Pasli Tumuye Loi Metamu renders something puzzle but not tome. And we explained this distinction earlier. Who is the Tana behind this idea? Omar Rabo Bar Bar Chana, Rebbe Yoshua Hi. The Tana that would hold this is in accordance is the Tana Rebbe Yoshua. And here we have a Tanaic source in which we'll see a machlokus between Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yoshua. And what we are focusing on is the opinion of Rebbe Yoshua. Rebbe Eliezer Omer Ha'echol Ochol Rishon Rishon. If a person ate food that's a Rishon level of Tumah, the person himself becomes a Rishon. And if he becomes a Rishon, that would mean that if he touches Truma, the Truma will become a Sheni, and that is Tome, and that Truma, if it touches some other Truma, it will make it into a Shlishi. So that you can see right away that this teaching of Rebbe Eliezer is not like that which we learned in the Tanaic source before. And Rebbe Eliezer goes on to say, "V'oichel echol sheni equals a sheni. If he eats a second level tuma food, he himself becomes a sheni, and then would pasel truma. Oichel shlishi, shlishi. If he eats food that's a shlishi level of tuma, so he becomes a shlishi. That would not have any effect on truma, but it would have that person would have an effect on sacrifices. Sacrifices being more sensitive than truma." Rabbi Yeshua Omer, now we've used a dashed underlining to feature that which we want to emphasize. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Ha'oichel Oichel Rishon, V'Oichel Sheni, Sheni. That even if he eats food that's a Rishon level of Tumah, he becomes a Sheni. And thereby does not Mitame Truma, because he's a Sheni, all he can do to Truma, Truma's lowest level of being affected is a shlishi, a third level tuma, and therefore you can see that the Tanaic source was authored by Rabbi Yoshua. If he eats shlishi, if a person eats shlishi level tuma food, what effect does that have on the person? Sheni l'kodesh ve'ein sheni l'truma. He becomes a sheni with regard to sacrifices. That would mean that if he touches some sacrificial meat, he will make the sacrificial meat tome, and that meat would in turn be able to affect other sacrificial meat, making it a revi'i. But that's his having eaten shlishi level food makes him it pushes him up a level, which is very unusual. But we're dealing here with rabbinic rulings. It pushes him up a level only with regard to the realm of sacrificial food, not with regard to truma. And all of this is true b'chulin shenasa taras truma. If that which he ate was chulin, chulin is common food, mundane food, but was treated as if it were truma, making it susceptible to becoming a third level of tuma. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.